Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. You go there, and I hope you get your... Don't, whatever you do, don't shut your Bible tonight. We're going to cover about 20 scripture. You're going to John 19. Just thought I'd remind you, a Bible study like tonight, Jesus said in Isaiah 28, when he teaches us doctrine, it's here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and he says here a little, there a little, twice. That means God did not give you a topical Bible. It has topics all through it that if you study it and rightly divide it, he'll show you what goes together, and that's what you're going to see tonight. You're going to see portions of it that go together. When you see the men that God used to pen his word, and you realize that they didn't know each other and never corroborated to write the word that God used them to pen, you do see the awesomeness of God's word. And that's something else I hope the Bible study shows you tonight. You're there in John 19. We'll read it in just a second. Just listen to me. We believe that Jesus died for our sins on a cross at Calvary, not on a torture stake. Jehovah's Witnesses don't like the cross. They used to have the cross, then they abolished it. They think Jesus died on a straight pole. That's foolishness. Then we believe in Calvary. Luke 23:33. It's mentioned one time in your Bible, but the NIV and other New Bible versions remove Calvary from the Bible. We believe that on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. Now, with the today being the, looking back on the timeline, Wednesday, today would have been the crucifixion. It says at the third hour of the day, that would have been at 9 o'clock this morning, they drove the nails in the hands and feet of Jesus. He hung on the cross for 6 hours, and then from noon to 3, it was total darkness. God shut the lights out while he bruised his son in our place. Then at 4 o'clock, he died at 3. At 4 o'clock, they took his body down. So tonight would have been the eve, you could say, of the crucifixion. And so we're going to look at a topic tonight that has a lot in the Bible about it. It's just you don't hear it talked about a whole lot. But what did Jesus do from the time he died on the cross to the time he rose again? And Sunday we'll celebrate the resurrection. And well, it's a wonderful time. It's the keystone of our belief and the power of the Christianity. However, what did Jesus do in between the death and his resurrection? Jesus was very active for 3 days in between his death and his resurrection. That's not surprising. I'll never forget, I was teaching on heaven, and this is years ago, and one of my family members came up, and actually I got to preach my grandma Nash's funeral, and I said, she had trusted Christ, and I said, the Bible says she can see us now in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll never forget, another family member walked up to me and said, do you really believe she can see us? And I said, you've never read Hebrews 12:1, the great cloud of witnesses that watch us? And literally that concept that when you die, you're awake and aware and you know what's going on. It did not connect. And I tried to, but they had been programmed by another ridiculous teaching of soul sleep and all that other stuff. I said, no, whether somebody dies lost or saved, their death is not the end of their existence. If they're lost, they will be very active in hell the moment their heart beats for the last time. And if they're saved, they will be very active in the presence of the Lord. But when your body dies, that does not take you into a state of inactivity. It takes you into a new state of activity, and we'll see that tonight. Well, let's look at John chapter 19. Look at verse 30 there. Look at verse 30, and it says here, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Just let me point out to you verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Notice this, for that Sabbath day was a high day. What does that mean? Hopefully we learned last week that the high Sabbath would have been Thursday. So if Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, see, that's how come they think Jesus was crucified on Friday, because they don't know the difference between the high Sabbath and the regular Sabbath. The high Sabbath happened once a year. That was the start of the Passover. So that verse right there Hopefully it helps you understand that. And then, when Jesus said, it was finished, Jesus was not saying that the gospel was finished. He had only died. What's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. So one-third of the gospel was finished, but he wasn't saying that the gospel was finished. What was finished was his payment for our sin. That's what was finished. He would not have, there would not, nobody could pay anything more than what was just paid for the past 6 hours of suffering on the cross. So he says, it is finished. Then, it's very important that we understand Christ paid for our sins on the cross, not after the cross. The resurrection was not a part of the payment for our sin. The Christ rising from the dead was God's testimony that he had accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made. But it was not a part. Now, if you stick with me, this will go somewhere. Take your Bible now and go to Isaiah 53. Go to Isaiah 53. Old Testament. And let's read a couple of verses here. This is that chapter in your Bible. It's amazing when you witness to a Jew. This chapter they can't deal with, so they take it out of the Old Testament. Because it is so plain about Jesus dying for them. So this Isaiah 53 is not in there. So I was like, well, that's kind of cheating. If you don't like some in the Bible, you just take it out. Isaiah 53, praise the Lord, we keep it in. Beautiful picture of Jesus. Just look at verse 5, ready? Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath, and then notice these three words, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, we won't get into it tonight, but remember I told you between 12 and 3, it says darkness was upon the face of the earth. And no, I don't think it was a hurricane or a rainstorm. I think God turned out the lights while he chastised his son in our place. Look at verse 10. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Look, you get a bruise from impacts. That means God was smiting his son on the cross when he was hanging there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Then notice this. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make, now notice this, his soul an offering for sin. His soul. Now we're going to differentiate between his body and his soul in just a second. Notice the word soul is mentioned one time in verse 10. Notice verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Who will be satisfied? God will be satisfied with the offering of Jesus' soul. Now, what's the difference? Listen closely. Our sin was not placed in Jesus. The Bible says it was placed on him. Then his soul, if it was placed in him, his soul would not have been sinless and he could not have offered that soul to the Father. But our sin was placed on Jesus. So listen closely. Our sin was on him, but his righteousness, the righteousness of God, was in him. His soul was perfect and sinless. This is so he can pay for the sin. Watch this. Now Jesus can pay for the sins of sinners and at the same time offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Father. His soul would be offered to God as sinless, but his body would suffer for our sins. Everybody see the difference? Now take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Go back to the New Testament there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now while you're going to 1 Peter chapter 2, I think we know this verse, and if you don't, you should, but as a soul winner, Romans 6:23 says what? The wages of sin is death. Listen now. Our sin was placed on him. That would be his body. So what was going to die on the cross? The wages of sin is death. What died on the cross? His body died on the cross. Yes, Ezekiel 18:4-20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Jesus' soul doesn't sin, and it has not sinned, and it's not touched by our sin. His soul was not. So only his body dies on the cross, because the wages of sin is death. If Jesus, had Jesus not taken my sin and your sin upon him, If he wanted to, he'd still be walking the earth alive today. Why did he die? Because of our sin. Because he took our sin on him. He committed no sin. He knew no sin. Death then had no claim on him. Death has claim on us because we've sinned, right? So the wages of sin is death. So Jesus Christ died on the cross because our sin was laid on him. It was laid on him. You're in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins, notice this, in his own body on the tree. His sin, our sin was not placed, once again, it was placed on his body, in his body, but not in his soul. So everybody see the difference? It says here that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. So once again, our sin was placed on him and in his body. So what died on the cross was his body. Now take your Bible and notice this stress. Go to Mark 15. Go to Mark 15 and notice the exactness of the Bible in how God stresses the body. The body. I don't think that this is what you would say. This is just a specific here that's beautiful. Look at Mark chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 15 and look at verse 42. Mark 15 and verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Notice here, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Does everybody understand? Crucifixion was not designed to kill you. You normally were executed when they got tired of watching you. Crucifixion was designed to put you in pain and to humiliate you as you hung there naked. There are records that typical was hanging there 3 days. There are records of people hanging on the cross for 6 days. So when the soldiers got tired or when it was their day off or whatever, then they would take their head, the long spear, and then they would go up and they would do what? Break the legs. They'd hit you right across the... No, they did not break the femur. This is a hard bone to break. They would hit these bones here. Normally, it was several strikes till the tibia and the fibia broke, and then you couldn't lift yourself up to breathe anymore. But crucifixion is... That's how come Pilate wondered, he's dead already? It's only been 6 hours. He's dead? That's because, remember, with Jesus, very few people... I think Jesus... I need to do some more research on this. But I think Jesus is the only person in history who was scourged and crucified. You were normally one or the other, but you weren't both. And so, yes, because of the scourging and all that he went through, yes, he only lasted 6 hours on the cross, but he wasn't murdered, right? He gave his life. He gave his life. He wasn't executed. He laid down his life for us. Notice verse 45. And when he knew it of the centurion, he got word that Jesus had actually died, he gave, once again, the body to Joseph. Everybody remember? Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's uncle. Because you could not beg a body of someone unless you could verify that you were related to them. So on paper, Jesus on paper was Joseph of Arimathea's nephew. On paper, legally. And that's how come he could beg the body of Jesus. But you just couldn't go up and beg the body of anybody. Hey, they just died. Can I have their body? That didn't work, okay? You had to be related to them. Jesus' body was what died on the cross. Take your Bible, and now you're in Mark. Go back to John 19. Go to John 19. So it was Jesus' body that died on the cross. This is a wonderful truth, and if you think about this, if I die tonight, that's not a wonderful truth. What I'm getting ready to say is a wonderful truth. If I die tonight, you won't bury me. You would bury my body. I wouldn't be there. Amen? That is a wonderful truth. That's a wonderful truth. You would bury my body, but you would not bury my soul or spirit. John 19, look at verse 38. Ready? John 19, verse 38. And after this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Look down then at verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Because the body is dead, they took it down. Then they embalmed the body. Then they wrapped the body in linen clothes. Then they laid that body in the tomb, and that body died because sin was placed on it, was laid on it. Now, we know where Jesus' body went. It died on the cross, and it was put in a tomb. Where did his spirit go? Where did his spirit go? You're in John 19. Go back to Luke 23. Go back to Luke 23 and look at verse 45. Jesus has, he's a three-part being. He has a body, a soul, and a spirit. We know his body died on the cross. Where did his spirit go? And then we're going to close the Bible study with seeing where his soul went. Where did it, but right now, where did his spirit go? Look at Luke 23, verse 45, and notice this. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You know, just the fact, if you just underline the words "loud voice," if anybody else was near death on the cross, they're struggling to pull themselves up to breathe so that they can exhale and speak. A normal person would have said, "It is finished." The fact that Jesus cried with a loud voice means he was not exhausted. He was not near asphyxiation. He was in control the whole time. He was in control from the time he started praying in Gethsemane until he gave up the ghost. He was not, look, and I told you this before, the movies try to get you to feel sorry for Jesus. Like, oh, they're hitting him, and you know, they always picture, you know, him falling down. Jesus told them once, when the women were weeping for him in the streets, Jesus preaches to them while he's on his way to the cross, "Don't you weep for me. I'm getting ready to crush Satan's head. I'm getting ready to conquer death. You weep for yourselves, because when I'm gone, this place gets leveled. Don't weep for me." There was never a time he was in shock or that he was, look, you feeling sorry for Jesus and what he went through doesn't save you. That's how come somebody can watch a movie about Jesus, the life of Jesus. You know, I don't care if it's a 1972 version or they want to watch Charlton Heston from the 50s and the Ten Commandments or all these Bible movies. How come they can watch a movie about Jesus dying on the cross? They'll depict, however, him being in a tomb, and then they'll depict the resurrection. Then how come they're not saved? Because they feel sorry for Jesus, but they don't believe on him. And it's believing on him that saves you, not your pity and your, you understand? That's how come Hollywood can't touch it. So the fact that he cries with a loud voice, "It is finished!" He was in total control. And then he died. He was not. You understand? Look at this. It says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. So, Jesus' body dies on the cross. Where did his spirit go? It plainly says it went back to heaven, right? So his spirit goes to heaven, right? He commended it to God, where God the Father was. It's important to know this. Just let me take a side note. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 16 and then just listen to me, okay? Go to Psalm 16. While we're talking about the Spirit of Jesus, it plainly says, the Bible plainly says, and it says this in another place, listen to this. "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward?" That's Ecclesiastes 3:21. "And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to earth." It needs to be said, Christ did not die for animals. The Bible plainly says the spirit of beasts goes into the ground. No, I don't know who made this movie. I never saw it. I've just heard about it. But all dogs do not go to heaven. Now, you know, cats don't go to heaven. We know that. They go straight to hell. Okay. But no, dogs do not go to heaven. All right. This needs to be said because When animals die, their spirit and body go back into the ground. The Bible says so. You say, well, what about their soul? They don't have one. They don't have one. But a man's spirit goes upward or back to God who gave it. All right? So, Jesus' spirit went back to the Father, and Jesus' body is laid in the grave. Because of that, now listen to me. We'll eventually get down there to Psalm 16. Just listen to me. Do you know what you are? Listen, you are a living soul animated by a spirit in a living body, right? We all know we're three parts. That's why we don't preach health, wealth, and prosperity for the body, because the body is going to die. We don't preach health and wealth. We preach that you need to believe to the saving of your soul, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If your soul dies, it goes to hell forever because it lives forever. Your body is not going to live forever. Amen? We don't warn people that their body's going to die. Everybody's body's going to die. Getting old is not for wimps. If your soul dies, it's forever in hell. So Jesus dismissed his spirit to go back to the Father. His body dies and is laid in a tomb, but his soul is very much alive. Where did Jesus' soul go? Now you got to see all these scripture together, so stay with me. We're in Psalm 16, right? Help to see these verses together. Look at Psalm 16, verse number 10. Ready? For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. I think most people would know if it's Holy, capital H, One, capital O, that's Jesus, right? The argument can come up, well, the first part, the soul being in hell, that couldn't be Jesus. That is verified. Let me just tell you about that's verified in the book of Acts. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 2 now. Go to Acts chapter 2. This verse, Acts 16, verse 10, is quoted in Acts 2:32, and God proves to it. No, the whole verse is talking about Jesus. The whole verse is talking about Jesus. Look in Acts chapter 2. We know that when a body dies, there is 3 to 4 days till it starts to stink and corruption sets in and it starts to decompose. John 11 teaches that, right? When Lazarus died, they said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. We know somewhere around 3 to 4 days, if a body is at room temperature, left at room temperature, it starts to break down and decompose. Jesus went to a grave where bodies decompose, but the Bible says that his body wasn't left in the grave and that it never saw corruption. Amen? So that's how come the Bible says God would not suffer his Holy One, what? The body of Jesus, to start breaking down. All right? That's what the verse says. It's quoted in Acts 2:30. Look at verse 31. Ready? He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Now, Psalm 16, Acts chapter 2, all speak of Jesus' soul going to hell. The body's in the grave. The spirit's with God the Father, but where's his soul? The Bible plainly says it went, and here's people go, oh, that can't be. Because they automatically think, they know a lost person dies and goes to hell to suffer. So they think, well, Jesus couldn't have gone to hell to suffer. No, he didn't, but is it possible to go to hell and not suffer? Take your Bible, you're in Acts, go back to Psalm, and look at verse 139. Look at Psalm 139. People falsely assume that either Jesus' soul went to hell to be punished, or they deny it altogether because Jesus couldn't have possibly went to hell. Joyce Myers teaches that Jesus went to hell and the demons attacked him and that he was suffering for our... That's garbage. He suffered for our sins on the cross. The payment was paid in his body as our sins were laid. That's how come Jesus said, it is finished. If his suffering wasn't finished, he would have said, well, so far so good. Well, I made it through the first half. Last half's going to be pretty rough. Pray for me. Okay, I'm being stupid. He didn't say that. He said it's finished. He said it's finished. That's why all the Pentecostal charismatics teach, for some stupid reason, they'll take a verse like, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Jesus must have went to hell to suffer. No, he did not go to hell to suffer. I'll ask the question again. Is it possible to go to hell and not suffer? Look at Psalm 139. Look at verse 7. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." Notice this. "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." The whole concept is wherever God's presence is, that is the most important part. My actual location is not the most important part. Where shall I flee from thy presence? So Psalm 139 is stressing that God is everywhere at once, gives the beautiful truth, no matter whether I'm enjoying, watch, you can spiritualize it, if life is heaven on earth, I can enjoy God's presence. And if life is hell on earth, as long as I have his presence, I can go through anything. You can take this literally. The Bible means what it says. Could God go to hell and not suffer? The answer to the question is yes. In other words, just because Jesus went to hell doesn't mean that he was writhing and burning. Could he have gone to hell? The answer to the question is yes. Now, take your Bible and go to Revelation 1. What happened then? Now, I'm going to go ahead and establish the fact. The Bible says Jesus went to hell. What did he do? We know he wasn't suffering. Revelation chapter 1 tells us the first thing he did. Ready? Revelation chapter 1 tells us the first thing he did when he went to hell, when his soul went to hell. Look at verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." So after Jesus rose from the dead, one of the things that he gained and took was the keys of hell and death. I can say this based on the Bible. One of the things he did in hell was he took the keys of hell and death from Satan. He took those. You say, okay, Satan had them before. Death means the death of the body. Hell or paradise would be the place where a person went when they died in the Old Testament. But if you have Eden, Garden of Eden, to the cross, hell, the Bible says, is a two-compartment place in the heart of the earth. You have hell on one side where people suffer. There's a gulf. We're going to look at it in just a second. And there's paradise on the other side. But everybody from Eden to the cross till Jesus died did not go to heaven. They didn't go to heaven. They went to the heart of the earth, to either hell or paradise. They went to one of the two. The lake of fire doesn't happen until after the great white throne judgment, after everybody's resurrected. And it's not a good thing to... Yes, they'll be glad they're out of hell, but they'll be going from the frying pan into the fire when they're cast into the lake of fire. You can think of hell as jail, where you're waiting the sentencing, and you can think of the lake of fire as prison. That's where you serve out the eternal sentence. Difference between hell and the lake of fire. You're there in Revelation. Take your Bible. Go back just a few books to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And look at verse 14. It says here, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood..." So we have a flesh and blood body. Keep on reading. "He," Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus came down to this earth and took a body of flesh and blood. Keep on reading. "That through death," his death on the cross, "he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Now, when you read that, the Bible plainly says all the devil has to offer lost people is death and hell. That's all he has. Before Jesus died on the cross, Satan had the power of death. After the cross, Jesus took the keys of hell and death and says, "I own them now. I have them." When death takes your body, it cannot take your soul, because Jesus has opened the door. On this side of the resurrection, Jesus has the means to deliver you from any fear of death or hell. I'm not looking forward to death. I know it's going to happen, but I don't fear it. I don't fear it because I know I'm saved, right? I've been delivered from the fear of hell and death. Why? Because Jesus is in my heart and he has the keys. Let me say it again. I'm not suicidal. I know I'm going to die one day. I'm just not fearing it. I'm not like, and I've watched people. It was horrible. I've told you that story. It was at the VA and they wanted to sign us that last thing that if you're in a car wreck and you're not coherent, I can't remember what it's called, but they've got an attorney present. You do it in the presence of an attorney. And I plainly said, no, I do not want life support. If it's my time to go, let me go. No, I do not want to be kept alive by a machine. Amen. I want to go. If it's either God's time for me to go, let me go home. There was this lady sitting next to me, and the lawyer is standing there, this page, now go to this signature, and this means if your body is blah, blah, blah. And this lady right next to me started shaking. I can't do this! And she slams down her pen and runs out of the room. I felt so sorry for her. I was like, I can't wait to get out of here. Where else do I need to sign? Doc, skip that. Where? Here. What? Here. Stamp. I wanted out of there. I had things to do. But I watched that lady run out of the room just scared. Death terrified her. You know why? Because she was lost. She was lost. Jesus took the keys of hell and death. Do you understand that before the resurrection, if you died, like I explained to you, you were in hell or paradise in the heart of the earth. You could not go to heaven where God lives, and you did not go to the lake of fire. You went to hell or paradise. Now, this was because the devil had the keys of hell and death. Jesus is now the keeper of hell and death. He has the keys. You don't deal with the devil anymore. You deal with Jesus. You deal with Jesus. That's why Jesus saves. Now, when a child of God dies, now when you die, you go straight to heaven, to the presence of the Lord. And, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Take your Bible and go to Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. Now let's look at this wonderful truth that Jesus gives us here. Luke 16, this is the place where we gather our information and truth in the Bible that hell is a two-part place. While you're going to Luke 16, I'm going to read you Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates are the authorities of hell, but hell has literal gates. Hell has, everybody knows what a gate is. It's a place that opens and closes. Jesus said, hell has gates. If I took you to Jonah tonight, we don't have time, but if I took you to Jonah chapter 2, we could read verse 2 and 6, and you can do it later, but it tells us that hell has bars. So if you could see hell, as you approach hell, it has a gate that you enter, then Jonah chapter 2 plainly says hell has bars, so beyond the gates are bars. Then I find that beyond the bars, then what separates hell is a great gulf. It's a great gulf, and we're getting ready to read about that. Jesus took the keys of hell and death. And if you want to escape the bars of hell, you go straight to Jesus. You're in Luke chapter 16. Watch this. Look, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. How come Lazarus? How come the beggar has a name and the rich man doesn't? Because God plainly says, if you're lost, your name is not in the book of life, and he forgets you forever. What's the sentence called? Depart from me, I never knew you. So how come the rich man doesn't have a name, but Lazarus does? Because Lazarus is saved, right? Lazarus is going to go to heaven. Here, keep on reading. That's very important that you understand that, because they always say it's a parable. And no, it's not a parable. You won't spend 2 seconds in hell, and you'll know it's truth. You better know it's not a parable. Look at, it says here, it was laid at the gate, full of sores, verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. There's three people in this story. Two are happy and protected. One is suffering in a flame of fire. But they're all three close enough to see each other. Okay? They're active. They're aware. They're aware of what's going on. Whether you're happy or whether you're suffering, you can see each other. Notice verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Look down at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So Jesus plainly says, nobody crosses this gulf. Nobody goes from paradise to hell, and no one ever goes from hell to paradise, and nobody ever goes from paradise to the earth, back to the earth, and nobody ever goes from hell back to the earth. This whole thing of seances and garbage, nobody comes back from hell. Seances is talking to demons. There's no such thing. Nobody in hell gets out. It's very important that everybody understands that. The Bible says it's in, oh, I talked to the spirit of my grandpa. No, you didn't. You talked to a devil. You talked to, you know, and you shouldn't be doing that stuff. God says that's a no-no. That's wicked. That's wicked. Here, there's a great gulf. You say, who could cross that gulf? There's only one person that could cross it, and that's the Lord Jesus. You say, how do you know? Because in John 6, it says, when they had rowed about 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship. They were afraid. And Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. They willingly received him into the ship. I just think this is amazing. And immediately the ship was on at the land. There's only one that walks on water. And isn't that amazing? The moment Jesus stepped into the ship, the Bible says immediately it was at the place where they were going. All the rowing, the storm stops. Isn't that amazing? There's a couple of videos I want to see when we get to heaven. That's one of them. I want to see that. I just think that's amazing. Now, wait a second. If Jesus could come walking on the water, Jesus can also cross that gulf from hell. Remember, it says his soul, he went to hell, took the keys of death and hell. Now he's going to cross that gulf. And let's watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I'll finish telling you about this. Why would he cross the gulf? Because didn't he tell the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise? So Jesus goes to hell, takes the keys of death and hell, then crosses the gulf because he's got an appointment with the thief on the cross that he just saw a couple hours ago. Can you imagine what Jesus meeting the thief, and Jesus is there in Abraham's bosom going, wow. Jesus goes, how you doing? Can you imagine the thief going, better than I deserve. But Jesus said, today I'll see you in paradise. Where was he talking about? In the heart of the earth. So he went from hell over the gulf that nobody else could cross except the Lord, sees the thief, and 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at what else he did. What else did Jesus do while he was in hell? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death, here we go, in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So, once again, all the suffering that brings us to God was done in his flesh on the cross, not in his soul that was in hell. All that suffering took place on the cross. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Watch, to finish this, you got to take the whole statement. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. So, listen closely. This is that part of Scripture that everybody comes to and they're like, what? What? Okay, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. And I can take the Bible at face value. So, watch me draw some conclusions from this. You might want to say, well, Jesus preached to the lost. It doesn't say that. Well, Jesus, when he died on the cross, I've heard people say this. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he went to hell and he preached to everybody who had ever died, from Adam to the thief on the cross who was in hell, and he preached the gospel to him. It doesn't say what he preached. And it also says he didn't preach to everybody in hell. He preached to one group. One. What was that group? The disobedient spirits that were at the time of Noah. One group. He didn't preach to the lost people who died in Babylon or Assyria or Greece. He preached to one group. And it doesn't say what he preached. We'll have to find that out when we get to heaven. Just take the Bible for face value. What does it say? He preached to one group in hell. So while Jesus is in hell, watch this. He dies on the cross. The Bible says he takes the keys of death and hell. While he's in hell, he preaches to one group. He doesn't assemble all of hell. Okay, everybody gather around. He preaches to one group. As soon as he's done preaching to that group, he crosses the gulf and he goes meet with a thief on the cross. Take your Bible and now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, you won't read any book on the occult or witchcraft that'll let you know what Jesus preached in hell. Just wait till we get to heaven. God will let us know when he thinks it's important. But right now, just take the Bible at face value. We know he preached. That's all we know. And we know to who he preached. But what he preached, we don't know. We'll find that out. Ephesians chapter 4. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 8. If it's not marked in your Bible, the scripture that's being quoted that we're getting ready to read is Psalm 68. If you don't have a center column reference Bible, right next to Ephesians 4, write Psalm 68, 17 through 19. So God is using the New Testament to tell us that when this was said in the Old Testament, it was talking about Jesus. Now, in Ephesians 4, look at verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Jesus, we'll find out when we get to heaven, he went to hell. His soul went to hell. He took the keys of death and hell. He preached to the disobedient spirits in the time of Noah. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. Those that were in paradise, he led back up to where we go now when we die. Then the Bible also says he obtained gifts. What are the gifts that Jesus got to give us? If you look at verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles. There are no more apostles. And prophets. And some prophets. Prophecy is done. All right. It says here, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now you put Psalm 68 and Psalm 4 and Ephesians 4 together, and you'll learn God gives rebellious people gifts also. I'll let you do that on your own, but it plainly says that in Psalm 68. Jesus rises from the dead, so Jesus gathers gifts. Where's hell? It's in the lower parts of the earth. Where's paradise? It used to be in the lower parts of the earth. Now heaven, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 and 4, when he was caught up to the third heaven, says it twice. We won't look at it tonight. Let's end tonight with John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And look at verse 12. It says here, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Does everybody understand? She's looking right at Jesus and thinks it's the gardener. She doesn't recognize him. Okay, then it says, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her one word, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. And I'm sure, because he's getting ready to say, touch me not, I'm sure she went, master. And I'll bet she wanted to wrap her arms around it. And Jesus says what? In verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. What did Jesus do? Let's sum all this up. Jesus was getting ready to take his blood to the mercy seat in heaven and apply his blood in the mercy seat in heaven. That's why he said, you can't touch me. I'm the high priest right now, and I have to apply the offering for your sin in heaven. So don't touch me, Mary. Then, when you read Matthew 28, he comes back that same day. So he leaves the galaxy, goes to where God dwells, puts his blood on the mercy seat, comes back. And in Matthew 28, right before the close of the book, they all fall at his feet and they hold him by the feet. And they're able to touch him and he receives worship. So what did Jesus, let's sum up tonight. Watch this. What did Jesus do in between the death and the resurrection? His body died on the cross that went in the tomb. His spirit went to God. The Bible plainly says that. His soul went to hell to do what? Take the keys of death and life. Preach to the spirits in prison. Then he went, crossed the gulf into paradise, saw the thief on the cross, led captivity captive, and brought gifts to men. Now heaven, where we go when we die, is directly in the presence of the Father. When your heart stops beating for the last time, you'll immediately see Jesus. Immediately. You don't have to go to the layaway place. But that Jesus wasn't done yet. Jesus wasn't done yet. He then sees Mary, takes his own blood, travels out of the galaxy to where heaven is. We know it was out of the galaxy, because it ain't in the Milky Way. He went out of the galaxy, traveling at the speed of thought, applied his blood on the mercy seat, and our Lamb became our priest, right? To apply his blood for our sins. Then he came back to earth, spent, and then they saw his, they touched his resurrected body. So what did Jesus do between the death and the resurrection? With tonight being the night of the crucifixion, today, 2,000 and some odd years ago, Jesus would have been crucified. Tonight, Jesus was very active, his soul was, while his body had died for our sins and was laid in the tomb. I don't know that this Bible study is life-changing, but it's something I think every Christian ought to have a small grasp on. Amen? Especially on that charismatic garbage out there. No, Jesus did not suffer in hell. He suffered on the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for tonight. I pray that, Lord, please. Lord, as we think of what you did for us, as we think of this week, the betrayal last night, Lord, the scourging and all that you went through.